he's letting me live.
That's unbelievable, I said.
You don't believe that your fathers had people killed? You never heard of the asteroid war? The battles the corporations fought to drive out the independent prospectors?
In school?
Yes, I'm sure they told you all about it in your fancy schools. They taught you their official, sanitized version. Nice and clean. No blood, no atrocities.
You're getting off the subject, Marguerite said.
If my mother hadn't seen you for 6 years before I was born, how can you claim to be my father? I challenged him. He let out a deep, painful sigh.
Because when we were living together, we had some of her ova fertilized with my sperm and then frozen.
Frozen?
We were going to have a family, Fuchs said, his voice low, his eyes looking into the past. As soon as I got my mining company up and running, we were going to have children.
But why freeze the embryos? I demanded.
Zygotes, he corrected. They weren't embryos yet, merely fertilized eggs that hadn't begun to divide.
Why go to all that trouble?
Because I had to spend so much time in space, he explained. We wanted to avoid the risk of radiation damage to my DNA.
But then she married my father.
To save me.
She married him.
But she never had a child by him, Fuchs said. I don't know why. Maybe he'd gone sterile. Maybe she wouldn't sleep with him once she found out that instead of killing me, he destroyed me financially.
Marguerite said, she had herself implanted with a fertilized egg, and you were the baby she bore.
Nodding toward Fuchs, she added,
his son.
How did you know I'm your son? I insisted.
I didn't. Not until Marguerite started looking for a way to produce the enzymes you need. She ran DNA scans on both of us.
I don't believe it, I said.
Marguerite glared at me.
Do you want me to show you the DNA scans? Why do you think his blood type is compatible with yours? But she waited 6 years?
I don't know why she did it, or why she waited, Fuchs said. She was heavily into drugs by then, I know that much. Living with your father turned her into an addict.
I had no reply to that.
With another groaning sigh, he went on,
anyway, she got one of the fertilized ova and had herself implanted. He must have realized it wasn't his child as soon as he found out that she was pregnant.
And he killed her, I said. She died in childbirth, didn't she? Marguerite asked.
He probably tried to kill you both, Fuchs said.
He's always hated me, I said in a whisper. Marguerite added, your anemia came from her blood while she was carrying you.
He's always hated me, I repeated, feeling empty inside, hollow. Now I know why.
Now you know it all, Fuchs said.
I looked at him as if seeing him for the first time. I was about his height, although my build was much lighter, much slimmer than his. My face was nothing like his, probably much more like my mother's. But his ice-blue eyes were not far from the shade of my own. My father. My biological sire. Martin Humphreys was not my begetter. He was only my caretaker, the man who had wanted me dead, the man who belittled and scorned me all my life.
Do you really think he killed my brother? I wondered aloud.
Fuchs sank back down on the bed as if all this had suddenly become too much for him to bear.
Do you think he killed Alex? I repeated, raising my voice.
You'll find out when you're down on the surface, going through his ship's wreckage, Fuchs said. You'll either get your answers there, or you'll never know.
Simulations. I left Fuchs's quarters like a sleepwalker and stumbled down to the virtual reality chamber to start my hurried training for piloting Hecate. My mind was spinning. Fuchs was my biological father. My mother had loved him so much that she bore his baby even though she was married to Martin Humphreys. Yes, I realized that would be entirely possible, probable even. She didn't want a child by Martin Humphreys, that was clear. For 6 years she lived with him, allowed him to shame her with his womanizing, make a mockery of their marriage. Talk about trophy wives. My mother was his prize, the living symbol of his victory over Lars Fuchs.
Her life must have been a pit of hell. And here was Fuchs, my biological father, dying of the stresses that drove him. Obviously, he wanted his revenge on my foster father, and just as obviously, for all the years of my life, he knew there was no way he could touch Martin Humphreys. No way he could make Humphreys suffer as he himself had suffered. No way he could make Martin Humphreys pay for the death of my mother, the woman he loved, the woman who sacrificed her life to save his. Until this idiotic Venus Prize. Once Fuchs heard that Martin Humphreys was offering that $10 billion prize, he recognized his chance to score at least a little of the vengeance he had nursed for more than a quarter of a century. As I slowly pulled on the protective suit that I was to wear in Hecate, I went over and over what little I knew about my own origins, wondering who and what I could believe. Why did she do it? Why did my mother flaunt her love for Fuchs after 6 years of marriage to Martin Humphreys? She must have known how it would enrage him. Perhaps that was why she did it, to hurt him, to strike back at him, to humiliate him in the only way she could. And he killed her. Did she know he'd go that far? Did she care? She must have protected me somehow, must have seen to it that I was safe from his malice, from his hatred. Yes, she made certain I was physically safe, even though she couldn't protect her own life. Or perhaps she didn't care about herself. Perhaps his killing her was a release for her, an end to the pain that had filled her life. Yet Martin Humphreys did not kill me. I was probably cared for by people my mother had chosen. Or, more ironic still, probably it was my terrible physical condition that saved my life. For my first few months I was maintained in a special medical facility, while my various birth ailments kept me hovering on the brink of death. Perhaps Martin Humphreys figured that I would die of my own accord. He wouldn't have to bother with me after all. But I survived. I lived. How that must have tormented him. Me. The constant reminder that no matter how wealthy he was, no matter who he could buy or sell, who he could destroy financially or murder outright, I had survived. Me, the weakling, the runt, the child sired by the one man in the solar system that he hated the most, I lived under his own roof. He made my life as hellish as he dared. Did Alex know the entire story? Was Alex standing between me and my foster father's murderous wrath? When Alex had his shouting match with his father just before he left for Venus, was the fight about politics or about me? There was only one way for me to find out. Only one person in the entire solar system knew what had really happened. Martin Humphreys. I had to face him, confront him, get the truth out of him. And to do that, I had to survive this journey to the surface of Venus. I had to go through hell and get back to learn the facts of my own existence.
"Are you asleep down there?"
Fuchs's acrimonious voice snarled in my earphones. That snapped my attention to the job at hand. He must be back on the bridge, I told myself, back in command. Until his next stroke.
"I'm suited up and entering the VR chamber," I said into my helmet mic. "Okay," he replied. "The Hecate simulation is ready whenever you are."
"Good," I muttered as I clomped to the hatch that opened into the virtual reality chamber. The special protective suit included most of the features of a regular spacesuit, of course, although to me it looked more like the cumbersome rigs worn by deep-sea divers in those ancient days before the invention of scuba gear. Heavy metal helmet with a tiny faceplate, bulky armored torso, arms and legs of thick cermet, boots that felt as if they weighed a ton apiece. The entire suit was honeycombed with tubing that circulated coolant. Actually, the tubes carried a true refrigerant, and the backpack that I would have to wear included a miniaturized version of the type of cryostat used in physics labs to liquefy gases such as hydrogen and helium. So I shambled through the hatch like some old video monster, the servo motors on the suit whining and wheezing away with every plodding step I took. Without the servos, I'd never have had the muscular strength to move my arms and legs. The VR chamber was a blank-walled compartment.